ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Nahum, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The word heathen means to turn the back on God. It comes from the root word, the back. So heathen are people whose backs are turned toward God. They're just doing what heathen people do. You know what's amazing about America is we've not been like that. Oh yeah, there have been a couple of groups here and there in war that have gotten a little carried away with it, a little bloodlust. Part of that came from the fact that we factored God out of the schools, factored God out of the equation, and taught our kids that there wasn't any need to honor God. In fact, today we can't even preach a true gospel in our chaplaincies many times because there's so many chains placed upon our religious leaders there. But when people have the heart of God, as this country had at the beginning, you and I have sung the song, the battle hymn of the Republic. We've sung that. And we see the watchfires. What were they? They were altars in the do's and damps. They were altars. Why? Because down there, they were fighting for the freedom to religiously worship God. Many of them knew that their freedoms were being threatened in a way that motivated them just to protect and defend and ward off. And yes, there's always been bad actors in every world, but this nation was founded on the belief that a man was endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And when you take that away, it's anybody's game, and they're trying to take it away today. And we have a nation that is not imperialistic. We don't conquer other nations and go and put up a headquarters and take over. We go out, help them, and many times pay to rebuild them. That is not what they're being taught in the schools today. Now, I say that because when this says the chariot shall rage, they're trying to heft on us today the idea that that's what America's done. We've gone around and we've conquered everybody and we've destroyed everything and we've eaten up everything. But the fact is we did not. But the Babylonians did. And the word for jostle or jostle, you probably fill in your minds the idea of jostling. That word has a different idea than what you might think. It simply means to go to and fro. It doesn't mean to jostle together. I kind of look at it as a bunch of people moving in the same direction. But this means go back and forth. And it's actually seen to be such in Joel chapter 2 and verse 9. It means to hustle about. It means to go to and fro. So they're in there. And you can imagine all these chariots are in this big city called Nineveh. And God has given them over into the hands of the Babylonians. And they're just drunk with the victory at this time. The Bible says they shall seem like torches. And again, the word torches is an interesting word because it goes on to say, like torches, they shall run like the lightnings. And the idea here is the idea of an actual torch. And he further expands it in verse 4 by saying they shall run like the lightnings. Now, what's that mean? Well, lightnings is the key word here for our understanding of the torches. Because the word for lightnings here often has the idea of a glittering sword. It often has to do with being made bright. It's not about some of the things that have been said in recent days trying to find the modern world in here. But let me just give you this. The word lightning that's used here is used in Deuteronomy verse 41 of chapter 32. It says, if I sharpen my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. That's God saying, if I sharpen my glittering sword. Think about God's sword. I mean, Moses' face shone when he saw him for just a moment. And it also says this, Habakkuk 3:11, it says, the sun and the moon stood still in their habitations. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. The word glittering is the idea, and shining of thy glittering spear. So what I'm trying to establish for you is the lightning, the flashing, the brightness, and the running to and fro. This is a vivid portrayal. But I can't leave you with just that because the Bible says in verse 6 of chapter 10 in Daniel's prophecy, it says that the Son of Man that he saw, his body was like beryl, and his face was like the appearance of lightning. So you're talking about a thing that is hugely a God-oriented thing. God's the one who commands the lightning. God's the one who holds the lightning in his hand. God is the one who really flashes. And in the midst of all that, I think when people are perishing, I think sometimes lost people see where they're going before they get there, just like sometimes saved people see where they're going before they get there. The testimony of Eleanor in recent days, what a neat thing about the little children in white that were sleeping with her just before she passed away. How comforting, encouraging, and wonderful it is to know that there's someone there to meet us at the other side. And he comforts us. But the lost people might have a converse of that experience. And I think what we're seeing in this is that that is very likely. And you're going to see that more in a moment. So I suggest to you that as we look at these words in verse 4, we're also seeing a lot of poetic stuff. But when we see it, don't forget that what God is doing is he's not giving us a prophecy of the now times. He's giving us a prophecy of the past times that were yet to come before they came. Now, there are people who like to take this and say, you see the jostling and there's somehow that Nahum is looking down through the corridors of time and he's seeing automobiles. That's not the way the words work out, and it takes away from the truth and the intensity of what's being said here. So I would suggest, as much as I love prophecy, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stay with the plain sense because it makes good sense at this point. And I think we need to stay with that. So why is this happening, right? Remember, I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you, right? These people cursed Israel. They really decimated. They split them all up and sent them to the far ends of the earth. They tried to melt them down. They were so against Israel. But what had God done? And why are they so culpable? Because other nations might have done something bad. Why are they so culpable? Well, remember their history. God sent Nineveh Jonah. And they repented and the judgment was averted. What else did they do? They came against Judah with a 185,000 man army. And God again had resisted them by sending the death angel through the midst and wiped out 185,000 soldiers in one night. These people were walking in the light and they were still insolent. Now listen, we're living in a generation that is getting to that point where they're going after the photographers and the florists and the bakers. And as we know, that girl down in Kentucky, she didn't want to sign a marriage certificate between two members of the same gender. And she was imprisoned. You're living in a day right now where they're coming against God's people. What does that mean? That means those people who are insolent, dancing in the light, knowing about Jesus and knowing that these are the good people in society. These are the people who are really heaping up judgment unto the day of judgment. They're laying up wrath. Listen, they don't realize it. And we're to bless those who curse us. We're to let God be the avenger, not take our own case in our own hands. But we're supposed to understand that this is for a reason. God allows the darkness to become darker and darker until he can finally step in. And when he steps in with these people, it took a while. But when he did it decidedly. Not only did he miraculously wipe out the soldiers, he also sent those lions I mentioned a moment ago. See, these people have been getting a heads up all the time. And they are therefore altogether culpable. I believe America has gotten a lot of heads up. I think all of the things that we see across our nation, the weather patterns, the earthquakes, the fires, call me crazy, okay? I don't care. But I see the Bible says in Amos, shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it. It's not talking about sin. It's talking about bringing some kind of something, something. And we just have to always take a note in our own corner. If something goes sideways, what is going on? And I tell you what, God is merciful in the midst of judgment. We see it over and over again. And what we're seeing right now is God is ramping up a lot of stuff. And guess what? Daniel got carried away when all of the Babylonians came to Judah. Isn't that interesting? So just because a person is righteous, they might have to take a couple of knocks because the world around them is a little bit goofy and it's lost its perspective. So don't ever try to make an excuse for God. That's what I would say. We have to be careful about that. And I just want you to recognize that we've gotten a lot of heads up even right now with the election we had last week. Did you see what happened, right? The world in which we lived, Kentucky and Virginia, both went totally blue, knowing a lot about the candidates that were running was really bad. And right now, they're going to be pressing in Virginia the open bathroom laws in the schools. In the schools. The showers and the bathrooms. They knew this. And they voted for it anyway. Folks, this is not a fairy tale. This is a biblical story. It's where you are right now. It's the Bible. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be proud, boasters, blasphemers, incontinent, fierce, haters of those that are good. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And as Janice and Jamborees withstood Moses in Pharaoh's court, so these men withstand the truth. You and I are living in biblical times, and we need to see it as such. The Bible says in verse 5, he shall recount his worthies. Now, this is the Assyrian king. He's going to look around and he's going to remember his most worthy generals. And it says, but they shall stumble in their walk. They shall make haste to the wall thereof, and the defense shall be prepared. And that's a broken narrative. The first part where it says they shall make haste to the wall isn't talking about the Assyrians. They're going to stumble when they walk. But they that are hastening to the walls are the Babylonians. The Assyrians are going to stumble. The Babylonians are going to hasten to the same wall, only on different sides. And the Bible says, and the defense shall be prepared. What is the defense? Well, the Bible says in verse 6, the gates of the rivers shall be opened, and the palace shall be dissolved. Now, what is very powerful about this narrative is that it is so amazingly fulfilled when it comes to pass. There was a man named Siculus who was a recorder of histories, and he records an old prophecy in the first century to the effect that Nineveh would only be taken if the Tigris River became her enemy. And that is precisely what happened. The Tigris River evidently overflowed its banks. The way that Nineveh was situated was it had water courses all around it. They had several moats, and it was like locks so they could turn them down and not let water in. But if the Tigris River were ever to overcome its boundaries, one had foreseen prior, and it's not a biblical prophecy, but it was what somebody saw maybe looking out over the end and said, man, if that Tigris River ever welled up, we'd be in big trouble. And that's exactly what happened. It wiped out the foundations of the walls. It wiped out the wall itself as a result. Actually, it washed out an entire section of wall that was like 4,000 yards worth of wall. 4,000 yards. Think about how many football fields that is, you know. We're talking about 4,000 yards of wall was washed out by the Tigris River. And the Babylonians, as they were coming, they were covered by God, if you will. Hey, cover me. I'm going in. God covered them because they're coming. Watch the way. Yeah, strengthen yourselves. Look and, you know, get your loins strengthened and get ready because it's coming. It won't do you any good because God was on the side of their destruction. You know, that's why I tell people, I'm not homophobic, Islamophobic, or any phobic they say. I'm theophobic. I fear what God will do to a nation that forgets Him. Right? You think about that. These people had a lot of warnings. We've had many more than they did. So there was like 4,000 yards worth of wall that was washed out of this city. The entire city had a wall that was very daunting. And as one saw it, they said that in almost a prophetic tone that the Tigris had to become her enemy if they were ever to be conquered. So the wall was wiped out by the waters, and the Bible says in verse 6, the gates of the rivers shall be opened, and the palace shall be dissolved. After their destruction, everybody was carried away, and they were never to rebuild Nineveh again. People today would probably walk over that land with maybe landmarks, but if they didn't have such, they would not know there was a city as awesome as it once was. And the Bible says in verse 7, and Huzab, and some people take this to be a queen that was carried off, but the word literally means established. And so you can read it this way. And that which was established shall be led away captive. They were a nation for 300 years. That's pretty established. They were a daunting nation for 300 years. And the Bible says, and that which was established shall be led away captive. She shall be brought up, and her maids shall lead her as the voice of doves tabering upon their breasts. Verse 8. But Nineveh of old is like a pool of water. You can move that word is, okay? Because it's an added word. You can say Nineveh of old is as a pool. Why? Because that's what it was. It was water on those streets. It had overwhelmed them with those waters from the Tigris, and the people were altogether overwhelmed by that 1-2 punch, if you will, that God brought upon them. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.